Before I say too much here, I want to say that I have been blessed just to be here this evening, and I would ask that we could just say amen to what's been happening so far. I mean, can we say amen? Amen. God is good here. God is good. God has blessed me and just blessed us in what has been shared already this evening. This evening we want to say our theme pledge, if we've got that right there. Let's say it together, could we? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119, verse 11 and 105. That song that our brothers just sang said these words: in life, there are many choices. Okay? And this evening, we want to look at one of those choices. And Brother Elvin, one thing that I learned many years ago from history is that we just don't learn from history. We continue to make the same mistakes over and over again. And we're going to discuss here something this evening that we've all made mistakes in. And probably tonight we are still making the same mistake. The title of the message is A Decision of the Heart. A Decision of the Heart. Tonight we're going to look at the topic, and the purpose of this message is to help us understand really how we are to respond to someone when they hurt us. How are we to, are we supposed to say, well, you know, I'll get you back. Your day is coming. I'm a patient man. Not really. I'm a patient man. I can wait until it's my turn. When someone wrongs us. Now, I know from experience that probably everyone here in this congregation has been hurt, wronged, wounded, battered, damaged by somebody else, because we're human. The story is told of a certain man who was upset and spoke very harshly to Billy Graham one time. Billy told a reporter during an interview, "Down deep in my heart, I really, truly resented this man, but I knew resentment was a sin." Billy said, "I knew I could not step onto that platform with resentment in my heart. I could not ask those people to do something that I was not willing to do myself. I could not ask those people to repent and love their neighbor if I had sin in my heart." One afternoon, alone in my room, he said, "I told God that I was going to stay on my knees until I could have genuine love and peace in my heart for this man. I stayed there asking God to do what I could not do as a human." Billy said, "God kept me there 3.5 hours. But finally, God answered my prayer, and when I stood up on my feet, I had genuine love for that man." Billy's ending comment was that only God can turn resentment into love. Genesis, there's a perfect, and we won't turn them, but Genesis is a perfect example, and you all know the story of Joseph, and how it had been very easily how he was wronged by his brothers. You all know that story, okay? And those who were dearest to him, his own family hurt him, and hurt him bad, hurt him deeply. And he had the opportunity years later, okay, to get even, didn't he? Right? Y'all know the story. He had his opportunity. Did he say in his heart, "I will wait, my turn will come when I get even"? The day came when that happened. And what did he do? He turned the other cheek, didn't he? He says, "You know, I love you. I forgive you. What you really meant to be harmful and mean and all that, you know, God intended to be good. God tends to do good to it." So, what did Joseph do? What did Joseph do? Joseph made a choice, didn't he? Joseph made a choice in his heart, okay, many years before this, to forgive his brothers. Forgiveness is a choice, a decision of the heart, not an emotion, not a feeling. You know, in the computer world, we have a wonderful key on the computer. It's called the delete key. I've used it more than once. Type anything you desire, and if you don't like it, simply press the delete key and it's gone. Out there in cyberspace someplace, it's gone. There's no record of the document anywhere. And if it really gets difficult and you really tend to really want to get rid of it, you just push Control Alt Delete and it's all gone. And it's all gone. Wouldn't it be great if all of lifestyle was like that? It just had a delete key and it was gone and it was erased. Start off on a bad day, delete, it's gone. Lose your temper with your children, delete, it's gone. Get in a, I will refrain from say a fight or argument. Get into a marital discussion with your better half. Delete, delete, and it's not she's gone, it's gone. Okay? Okay, there is a vast difference here, husbands. Vast difference here, brothers. We got to get that straight. Okay? You don't want to eliminate everybody totally. So anyway. Speak a harsh word to anyone. You know it's wrong. You know it's harsh. You know you need forgiveness and all that. And just delete, and it's gone. And everybody's forgotten about it. As if it never happened. Well, on a computer, it's easy, but not so in real life, is it? Really. Why? Because we all have memories, don't we? We all have memories. When we hear something or see something, our minds are like steel traps. They store it in our memory forever and ever and ever. I'll tell you, young people, things that you do today, you remember, and I can give examples, years down the road. Good, bad, or indifferent. You will remember those things that you do today. Nothing is implanted in our memory bank any stronger than when someone hurts us. When someone has done us wrong, we tend to hold on to that tightly, don't we? The grip of unforgiveness has a sobering consequences. This is why Jesus wanted his followers to understand the need to forgive and release one another from offenses. Forgiveness is seldom easy. It's one of the most difficult things to accomplish in this universe. Barclay wrote, and I quote, "Forgiveness is man's deepest need and his highest achievement," end of quote. Gandhi writes, and I quote, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attitude of the strong," end of quote. Not only is forgiveness an attitude of the strong, it's also a requirement of God's people. Colossians 3:13, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another brother, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." Matthew 6:14-15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Not my words, brothers and sisters, Scripture. Ephesians 4:2, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." To understand the need for forgiveness, Jesus shares a parable with us, which is a teaching story for us, with his disciples in Matthew 18. Turn there, please, if you would, in the Scriptures. Matthew 18. Let's start with verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. There's a lot of teaching going on here, a lot of teaching from Jesus. Verse 21, Matthew 18. "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe me. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. And verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Strong words, friends. Strong words from Jesus' lips. Strong words here. Matthew 18, Jesus has been teaching on how to handle an erring brother and all of that. It's now that Peter asked the question. The Jewish law said a man could forgive 3 times for the same offense. Peter wanted to be better than that, wanted to be more gracious than that, than the rabbis. He offered to forgive 7 times. What's Jesus saying here? Jesus said to Peter and to us, it's not a certain number of times, not 490 or not any certain number of times, but that forgiveness should come as a natural part of being a child of God. Jesus then goes on into his parable. I believe we all know what parable teaches. Jesus begins by saying the kingdom of heaven is like. Friends, make no mistake here. Jesus is teaching this is how kingdom business works. Jesus is laying out, if you will, a blueprint for a kingdom lifestyle. What do we learn from the kingdom? Number one, we learn that the kingdom has a wealthy king. Jesus teaches us here there was a king who would loan money to the subjects, and now that day of reckoning has come. The day of accounting had come. The day of payment back had come. A man comes to the throne room empty-handed. It's believed he owns somewhere in around $30 million. The man does not have it. And so the king ordered the man to be, and his family, and everything he had, to be sold to relieve the debt. Also, the kingdom has a loving king. The servant fell on his knees before him. And what was his request? Have patience with me, and I will pay it all back. Notice here, he only asked for patience from the king. The public commentary estimated that it would take 274,000 years to pay back the debt this man owed. No small debt. The king, having compassion, forgave the man's debt. You see, it was the attitude of the servant, not his ability to meet his obligation, which brought forgiveness. The attitude of the servant. Next, the kingdom has a just king. Sometimes later, the forgiven man is walking down the street, and when he comes across a man who owes him a debt, his reaction is quite different, isn't it? He was forgiven a debt of some $30 million. He finds someone who owes him a debt of $30, and he won't let it go. Take note that the man who owed $30 used the same words that the man who owed $30 million. Have patience with me, and I will pay it all. Those words affected the king deeply, but they did not even get the attention of the unmerciful servant. Here is where we see the justice of the king. Take note the 3 stages that this unmerciful servant went through. One, he was a debtor. He paid a debt he did not owe. He owed a debt he could not pay, pardon me. He was not only a debtor, he was liberated. He was set free. Okay? There's scriptural thinking behind all this, friends, by the way. 3, he was a prisoner. He still was in bondage, wasn't he? Jesus ends this parable with quite a reality. Last verse we read here. There is quite a danger in unforgiveness. Question, do you think Jesus is as concerned about forgiveness today as he was back then? Do you think he has any less desire for his children, okay, to be forgiven people to others? Why do we not obey God's teaching on forgiveness? Why is it so hard for us to forgive, especially those that we love the most? Why is it so hard to even not necessarily even give forgiveness? Why is it so hard for us, I'll even say as men, to even ask for forgiveness from our spouses, from our family, from our parents? Why is that? From these verses and scriptures, I want to see three things this evening here. One, God wants to release us from a prison. Now, I talked the prison of unforgiveness. I talked last night a little bit about our experiences in prison settings and how, you know, in the fourth world, there are thousands of inmates just up in New York State alone. New York State has 70 institutions in the state alone, with thousands and thousands of inmates in each one. As humans, we commit relational sins, don't we? And a forgiving spirit is one of the means by which reconciliation happens. Sin destroys relationships, and forgiveness restores them. One of the simple but great inventions of man many, many years ago is something that we call, even before the days of computer, an eraser. We've all used them, right? Now, I can remember the days I don't very much myself use pencils anymore. Pencils have erasers on them, okay? I can remember very well back in the days of grade school, and we had one teacher who, in particular, who used to say, before class, put everything under your desk and take out a number 2 pencil. Now, what do you think she had in mind? See, I wasn't real quick, but I understood that very quickly that meant there was a quiz coming. She called them pop quizzes. I don't know why they're pop quizzes, but that's what she called them. And sometimes we had I can remember one girl we had in class. For some reason, she must have had a vitamin deficiency because she would eat her erasers. See, and she was kind of in trouble when she had to pull out her number 2 pencil and there was no eraser on the end of it. Okay, there was no erasing her mistakes before she turned the paper in. Anyway, she was hungry apparently. Anyway, so. Okay, Warren Wiersbe said, and I quote, "The world's worst prison is the prison of our unforgiving heart," end of quote. Forgiveness is an attitude of the heart. No question about it. Forgiveness means to cover, to erase, to get rid of the sins of the offender. Therefore, when we forgive, we are actually giving that person, you might say, a clean sheet of paper. We are saying, we forgive you because, why? Not because my human nature, I want to. Not because I really, let's be honest here, not because I really want to, okay? The desire of my sinful heart would be to get even. But because Christ has commanded me to, in the scriptures, okay, I will choose to forgive you. I will choose to release you from the prison. We must understand that forgiveness is not forgetting, but healing. Forgiveness is not forgetting, but healing. We forgive so that healing will begin to happen. Healing is a process that requires patience on the part of the offender. When complete, it may leave scars, but the pain is gone. I take you back to when I was 8 years old, roughly 50 years ago. And it's as clear and as vivid as it happened yesterday. Now, I don't know if you all will understand this concept or not. Some people do and some people don't. When I was home living on a farm, my father, I was 8 years old, my father was, we were fixing fence, okay, with a fence stretcher. The fence was broke, cattle was getting out, they were getting in the pig pen, not really, but they were getting out, and we had to fix the fence. Okay? Now I said to myself, you know, self, it'd be a lot easier if we just got a new piece of wire and fixed the whole thing. But Dad said, no, we will fix the spot that's broke. Now, and I don't know if you understand, but the fence stretches as you hook one, now fence wire, it's got barbs on it. Okay? Okay? And you hook it on one end, you hook it on the other end, and you ratchet it together, you stretch it, and then you mend it, then you release the tension, okay, and you're good to go. Well, before this time, I have noticed that the stretcher would slip. You would stretch it, and the cog would slip, okay. But when it slipped, it wasn't a pretty sight, okay. So I had gloves on, and you probably know where this is going, don't you? I had gloves on, and I was holding both ends of the wire, and Dad was rationing it, and it slipped. You can't see it, but I can show you the scar is still there. Okay, and let me tell you one thing: this puppy bled. Dad rushed me to, we had an old Ford 8-inch tractor, and we had that thing right in high gear, and it was wrapped, and I remember bleeding, and I just thought I was going to die right there. Okay? And we get to the hospital, and the doctor says, he said, you're lucky. To my dad, he said, you know, he's lucky. Just another, you know, eighth of an inch, and it would cut that artery right there, and he'd have bled to death before he got here. Now, you know, I had a choice to make right there, and that was, you know, I was 8 years old, but I had a choice to make in my teenage years, because I still remember that. And I could say, you know, Dad, you know, that wouldn't have had to happen. You know, I could have held bitterness in my heart and anger in my heart, and I must admit, for a while it was. I mean, the stitches healed, and and I'm all good to go. You know, I'm not perfect, but good to go. Okay, but I'm saying to y'all is that the scar is still there. Okay, the pain does go away, but the scar is still there. An unforgiving spirit results in other sins, such as anger, critical spirit, harsh words, and bitterness. We reveal the true condition of our heart by the way we treat others. Forgiveness means to cover, to erase all of that. Now, David Augsburger writes, forgiveness is a journey of many steps. Taken carefully and thoughtfully, the steps include to see the other as having worth again, regardless of the wrong done. To see the other as having worth again, regardless of the wrong done. To see the other as an equal in spite of the pain. To cancel demands on the past. Recognizing that changing the past is impossible, but changing the future is possible. End quote. Point number two. God forgive us more than we will ever forgive. Think about that. How much has God forgiven you? Really? Really? Give me a dollar value. What is your soul worth? What is salvation worth to you, brothers and sisters? What is the price tag on your life? We often say that our children are priceless, aren't they? I believe God says that to us every day. My son is priceless. My daughter is priceless. The master in the parable was disappointed because the attitude of the unforgiving servant. I have to wonder how many times has the Lord looked down upon us and me and you and been disappointed. Disappointed, beloved, in what he has seen. Pick up which word you like. whichever way you like it, he looks down upon us and he says, you know, I wish they wouldn't feel that way. I wish they wouldn't do that way. I wish they wouldn't think that way. How many times has the Lord been disappointed with you or I? I ask this question at work occasionally. I've asked it out many times other places as well. The question then is, how's your attitude? See, that kind of works in the work world because attitudes kind of get a little, you know, tense once in a while. See, and so I'll say, you know, tell me, you know, Joe or Jack or whatever, you know, how's your attitude? And I say that, and I ask that, because I'm a firm believer that your attitude determines your altitude. Okay? Your attitude determines your altitude in relationship to God. Okay? You get this in line, okay, and this will be fine. We should grant unlimited forgiveness because God forgave us more than we will ever forgive. In the light of eternity, forgiveness is crucial. God forgave all of our individual sins. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Once again, brothers and sisters, we run across that word all, don't we? Having forgiven you all trespasses. Once again, I ask you the question, how many is that? Is there a limit? If, you know, I'm good until I sin 491 times. See, then I'm dead in the water because then there's no more forgiveness. God puts a limit on. No, he don't. Unforgiveness. Forgiveness is unlimited. We must realize that we are simply channels of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness did not originate from us, but from God. We must understand that at one time we owed a debt that we could not pay, and Christ paid a debt that he did not owe. Our debt was not money, was it? But sin. Romans 3:23, once again, very familiar. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a whole message in itself. It talks about, oh God, show me your glory. Let the fire fall down on the church. Do we realize as God's children how blessed we are to have our sins forgiven? Do we know? Do we have any idea? Forgiveness is for people. Forgiveness is for who people are, not for what they have done. Okay? Forgiveness is for who people are, not for what they have done. Crucial point there. Okay. Point number three. What are some results of unforgiveness? If we choose in our heart not to forgive, God will deal with us severely. Unforgiveness is a serious matter in the eyes of God. I'm not saying that if you choose not to forgive that your fellow man that you're not saved, or that you lose your salvation. I'm not saying that. But the issue here is one of fellowship with God, not relationship to him. When we have an unforgiving spirit, we are out of fellowship. Okay? Simple as that. We are out of fellowship with God. When that happens, God will discipline us. Brothers and sisters, there are consequences for unforgiveness. In the eyes of God, unforgiveness is a sin and an act of disobedience to God. God expects us to follow his example. Let me give you just a few ways to flesh this out, to practice, if you will, forgiveness. Number one, you resolve in your heart not to let the offense cause you to sin. Okay? When we are hurt, when we are maimed, let's say, we want to fight back. Simple as that. We want to fight back, don't we? We may seek retaliation, or we may harbor hateful thoughts in our heart. Sin separates us from God. Sin breaks that, if you will, that connection we have between us and God. And I ask you, is that what you want? Is that what you want? In the short amount of time that we have to breathe this air, is that what you want? Do you want to be separated from God? We can never justify our disobedience because we're in pain. We just can't. Two, refuse to harden your heart towards the offender. Refuse to harden your heart towards the offender. A hardened heart leads to bitterness. Three, remind yourself everyone is capable of making mistakes. They are. They are. I often say, there's only one perfect man. They crucified him. What chance do we have? Everyone is capable of making an error. And I say at work, guys, that's why they call us human. That's why they call us human. I'm sorry, forgive me, but that's just the way it is. We're all capable of making mistakes. It's unrealistic to think that people will always act good towards me and nice and sweet. And, it's nice being here because you all talk nice about me, okay? And you feed me and us, and we're getting, weaker. But it's good. You help us out. Isn't that's good. That's good. That's good. Thank you for that. But, when I go back home, not everybody, maybe not here, but when I go back home, everybody's not going to like me. And everybody's not going to say nice things about me. And I learned at a very young age that people are going to shovel dirt on me. Okay? And how am I going to react to that when people do? When people are not really in love with me? And even in my position, there are those people. Okay? So I too have a choice to make then. Next, realize resentment carries a high price. Holding a grudge takes mental, emotional, and physical energy. And I wonder if you're ready to give that all up and allow that to happen to you. Resentment, I guess I'll put it as simply as this, as to say, resentment is a sin, and sin will keep you out of heaven. Okay? It's not rocket science. We will break it down simple for you. Resentment is a sin. Unforgiveness is a sin. Hatred is a sin. And sin will keep you out of heaven. Now, you got a choice. You got a choice to make. Next, recall God's forgiveness to you. Notice they all begin with R. Recall God's forgiveness to you. God's forgiveness is both personal and universal. John 3:16. God's forgiveness is not limited, but universal. So if there is someone that has hurt you and needs forgiveness from you, the question of the evening then is, will you do it? Will you do it? It's a simple invitation again tonight. Not necessarily will you listen to God tonight, but yeah, will you? Will you listen to God and act as He directs you to? Now, if He's telling you to continue to harbor bitter thoughts in your heart and resentment and anger and malice and jealousy and bitterness and all that, if He's telling you to keep that all in your heart and just suffer with it, well, then suffer with it. Okay? But I really doubt if He is. I believe He's saying, release the other person from that. Because once again, even though we're not living in a prison wall with fences and all that, like I said last night, we are in prison, aren't we? Many of us are still in the prison of unforgiveness. And that's a shame. It's a prison without bars, but trust me, it's a prison nevertheless. Forgiveness, I really believe forgiveness is not an option. I don't believe it is. Forgiveness is not an option. It's a command. Forgiveness is a choice, as the song said. It's not only a choice, it's a decision of the heart. Let's close our eyes, friends, and bow our heads if you could. This evening we want to ask you the question, among other questions, but I want you to think about the message. Think about the song our brothers sung of forgiveness being a choice that you need to make. And you'll make that either tonight or sometime in the future. Maybe tonight you've had a relationship with someone close destroyed. Maybe it was dad, maybe it was mom, maybe it was 50 years ago. But tonight that hurt, that pain, that resentment, that bitterness is just as real as it happened yesterday. Are you willing to forgive? Maybe tonight you are holding a grudge against someone. Maybe it happened just yesterday. Maybe last week. Maybe in my job. Maybe you're holding a grudge against your spouse, against your children, against those that you love dearly, and you, tonight, you want to say, you know, I want to release them. I want to forgive them. And maybe even during the invitation, or after the invitation, you need to go to someone and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? Maybe for years you felt bitterness, resentment, anger towards someone. Tonight you want to release them from that. Maybe again you've been hurt in the past. The pain is real. Yeah, it's been time, and time has healed the wound, but the scar is still there, and you know it's still there. And I don't know of any situation in particular, but I know that God does. And if God looks down upon this congregation and He sees your hurt, He sees your pain, He sees your anger, He sees your bitterness, He sees your resentment, and that all is sin, and that will keep us all out of heaven. I don't think we want that. Brothers and sisters, we are here tonight to make a choice. Now maybe you're all living on that great highway of holiness and there's nothing to ask God for release from, forgiveness for. And if that's the case, then fine. But I've not been in a congregation yet where that's been true. This evening I ask you, as God searches the hearts and He walks up and down through these aisles and He stops in front of you and He looks at you and He says to you, son, daughter, is there anything that you need to ask forgiveness for? You need to say, Lord, not a thing, or Lord, yes there is. Tonight, to say, if that is you, friends, if that's you, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet and say, Lord, I'm standing because I'm a sinner. And Lord, there's been things in my life that I've held for years. And tonight, I just want to get rid of it. Tonight, I want to lay that burden at the foot of the cross. And I want to lay that burden at the altar. And I want to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for holding that person or those people or that church or that congregation or that minister or that bishop or that whoever in bondage for all these years. I want to be free of that. That burden is way too heavy and I've carried it way too long. Is there anybody like that? You stand to your feet and we want to pray for you. Anybody at all? The prison of unforgiveness. It affects all of us, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, it does. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight, as you look down upon your people here, Father, us as your children, Father, oh, Father, Lord, we thank you for the teachings of the Scriptures, Father, once again. As we think about our lives, Father, and you know them much better than we even do, Father, I just pray, Lord, if there's something that needs to be asked for forgiveness for, I don't know what it might be in these dear folks, but Father, Lord, you do. Father, I know that I myself have had to come to you more than once in my life and ask for forgiveness for a prison that I've kept someone in. Father, I've had to go to people personally and ask for forgiveness for my actions and my thoughts and my attitudes toward them because I know they wasn't right. Father, there's just such a blessing in that. There's such a feeling of release in that. Father, this evening, as you look down upon us once again, Father, Lord, help us, Lord, to look to you and say, Father, if there's anything, Father, bring it to my mind. And Lord, this evening, before I lay my head on that pillow, Father, Lord, before I even think about that, Father, help me, Lord, to make a phone call or just maybe tomorrow make a phone call or a visit to someone or maybe I need to revisit mom and dad or maybe I revisit my sister or my brother or whatever, Father, Lord, and just say, well, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Is it hard? Yes. Is it fun? No. Is it necessary? Yes. Is it needed? Yes, Father. Because, Father, we don't want anything that would keep us out of heaven. Father, Lord, thank you for this time together, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the teachings that you have given us, Father, the commands that you have given us, Father, Lord. We will once again be assured to give you the praise and honor and glory, Lord. Yes, in your holy name, Father. Amen.